Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another Addicted Fishing podcast. We're sitting here in studio with our friend Lucas.
Hey, it's good to be here, Cameron. And if I understand correctly, it's still my theme music going at the start of the podcast, right?
I would assume so. Clint, yeah. Are you still plugging that in?
You still dropping that in?
Oh, it's fire from what I hear.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, a little bit of my guitar work there. So it's kind of cool. You know, the podcast has been going on for quite a while, this Addicted podcast. But today I was kind of thinking about doing something a little bit different. If you're down, Cameron, and I want to ask you some questions. Just kind of talk about a few things, kind of specifically towards guiding.
Oh gosh, this should be a real snooze fest, guys. But I tell you what, real fast, before you guys forget, we are in the holiday season.
That's right.
Like, we are in the holiday season. And I know last week we announced that we were doing the golden ticket giveaways for every dollar that you spend on the Addicted Fishing store. You guys are entered in for one of 10 absolutely insane prizes. Were you here last week when we were talking about like the grand prize?
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah, two man to, yeah, Big Dave's Lodge on, like, let's just call it the personal stash week of steelhead fishing for the Addicted, yeah, crew. So,
oh, it's perfect timing. I mean, I set up that webpage actually on the website, and I was drooling. And not only that grand prize, which of course is epic, with Big Dave and everybody, and, you know, filming with the Addicted guys. But then there's like a trip with Popov, mm-hmm, for two. There's a trip with Jordan, and then all these gear packages. It is pretty insane, and it's literally all you have to do is every dollar you spend on the website is a ticket, and it goes in and then randomly selected. And even if you don't spend anything on the website, you can even just go in and fill out a form and get a free entry. So pretty cool. And I think that's going all the way through January 31st, if I'm not mistaken. So
January 31st or December 31st,
no,
but one way or another, I'm, yeah, going to just say, I mean, just one way I'm going to say is, like, just make sure, I think it's December, because
It is January 31st, yeah.
Jeez,
so.
Oh, holiday season's going long this year.
Well, you know how January is. Everyone's like, hey, I didn't get those jigs for Christmas, so I'm going to buy them.
Yeah, I guess it is steelhead season, yeah, all the way through. Heaven forbid. We have a few things for you on there. So, yeah, you guys, check it out, addicted.fishing. And I'm sure there's going to be more and more sales and more goodies as we get closer to the holiday.
Yeah, and you don't even have to, you know, put in some coupon code or anything. It just does it automatically for you, so that's kind of nice. Yeah, but, yeah, Cameron, I kind of want to talk about, it kind of mystifies me a little bit, the whole guiding thing. And I would like to think, you know, myself, that I'm quote-unquote addicted to fishing and that I'm just so hardcore and all this stuff. But in reality, you know, I can put in one solid day of fishing and be a bit worn out by that evening. And so I kind of want to ask some questions in regards to that. So first of all, with guiding, obviously there's a massive amount of prep work before and after, and sometimes some long days. So just you yourself, and how much sleep would you like to have per night?
I hate, even after 20 years. This is my 20th year. February 24th will be 20 years of guiding. Actually, yeah, I'm going through my fourth Coast Guard renewal right now, so I know the exact date.
Yeah,
February,
yeah,
24th, my Coast Guard expires.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why I got my other one coming right now. I still hate getting up in the morning.
Yes.
Absolutely hate it. So I do need my sleep. I will absolutely sleep in and get at 8 to 10 hours sometimes, but mm-hmm, during the season, you know, I can survive on like 4 to 6 hours of sleep, but man,
how long did you do that?
So this fall, for instance, I think I did 92 days from July 1 till basically the B-Run Coho didn't show up.
Yeah.
So I was going for 100, but 92. And the thing about it was where you make up your time in getting a little extra sleep during the season is the prep work and stuff that you do beforehand.
Yeah.
And so, like, before we get into like a big season where we're going to have like a long stint, like, where you make up for it is making sure that, you know, you've got all your supplies, making sure you've got all your bait, making sure you got your leaders tied, your spinner blades painted, your leaders, all your equipment, everything gathered up before that day one hits. Because what I find is that if you go into these seasons and you don't, and you're like a week in and you're already scrambling for equipment, mm-hmm, you're already scrambling to try to find stuff. And then you get done at the end of the day, you clean your boat, and where you normally would put a bow on your day and spend time with your family, have a nice meal, you know, whatever you need to do. If you turn into this get done fishing, and now I've got to spend 3 or 4 hours like hunting stuff down, prepping stuff for the next day. Mm-hmm. That's where you lose your time. And then you're not fishing as efficiently as you can. So, I mean, I can survive on, you know, just a few hours of sleep, you know, for a few days in a row. But the reality is like, I've learned that that sucks. Mm-hmm. That's not the way you have longevity in this like career.
Totally.
And you have to prayer. And we preach it all the time on this podcast. Mm-hmm. At the seminars we were talking, we were doing coho seminars just 2 weeks ago up at Sportco. And I was sitting there going, hey guys, they got a lot of really good steelhead floats and steelhead stuff and stuff to like gather up and be ready like prior to the season. And think about, you know, our seasons in that respect. Like, you know, this stuff is tough, and you don't want to be spinning your wheels when you want to be spending your time fishing or sleeping.
Absolutely. So when you're getting up for a guided trip in the morning, are you pretty much just like you wake up, go out to the boat, maybe pull something out of the freezer and go? Are you set up that way?
Oh, I am set up. So I am absolutely garbage in the morning.
Yeah.
So everything that I do, and what's funny, it's like, so some of my other guide buddies, they're completely opposite. Hmm. They would rather let stuff not be completed, like certain, you know, fresh leaders put on rods and things tied up and bait brined and all these things. They would rather like get off their boat and then go relax at that time, where I'm like the guy that like makes sure that I have every damn thing ready to the point where I don't even have to take it out of the freezer. I'll ice my coolers down and make sure my bait's in the freezer in my boat the night before. So I literally... And they make fun of me for this, dude, because I'm the guy that will wake up, for instance, at 5 o'clock and then be down boat launched at my like local haunt with coffee in hand. That's usually all I got to do in the morning is make coffee and get myself dressed by 5:30, waiting for clients, like boats ready to go.
Yeah.
So I'm not the guy that I can't do crap in the morning. And so I'll spend a lot more time the night before. And if I leave stuff in the freezer or if I don't put it in, I have to do it the night before, I will forget in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't understand. You were saying 92. How long of a period was that? You were talking about 92 trips between what time?
Oh, it was like July. Really, it was like July 15th to like October 15th.
So that's not a lot of days off, I would assume. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what?
No, basically the only days off I had in there, I think I was taking them off for like some bass tournaments and then some family stuff. So it wasn't even like the days off where I was still waking up really early and going fishing.
Yeah. And that's another thing that blows me away. I see this all the time with guides, your buddies, guide friends of mine. They have the day off and they might sleep in till, you know, 8 o'clock and then be like, I'm going to go hit the river. And it's like, I'm trying to understand, because to me, I think I'm utterly obsessed with fishing, but like to comprehend that level of going and doing it every single day. For me, I'm a guy who needs 8 hours of sleep minimum every night. Otherwise I'm a train wreck. And so with that whole kind of prep work idea in mind, say you're preparing for a season, like for instance, fall Chinook, 360 fishing, or whatever it may be, how early in advance do you start prepping for that?
Well, I mean, depends on the season. I mean, for instance, like we got like a spring Chinook season coming up. Like I've already got, you know, a case of bait in one of my freezers, another case of bait ordered. You know, we're working on some of the hook stuff with Mustad, of course, but, you know, just to get like a bulk supply of hooks and leader line. Like, I mean, I'm always thinking kind of ahead, and that's not going to be for really another 3.5 months. Well, no, is that 4.5 months?
So it's kind of, you're putting together various pieces.
I mean, it's November now, and I've already got like everything I think I need for steelhead season right now.
Okay.
I've got floats. I've got everything. I've got my baits. I'm I never want to go into day one thinking, oh, I need my favorite color jigs, or I need these sized beads or these sized floats. You'll never find them. So, the reality is like, I'm already ready, but I mean, months in a time. Not, and then also too, taking advantage of like, you know, when you see sales and sportsman shows and stuff like that, like I put a lot of it in a reserve, but we chew through a lot. I mean, you fish 92 days. That's a lot of equipment to get. That's a lot of leaders and a lot of stuff to blow through, especially on a year like we had.
Yeah, absolutely. And then having, I mean, you're not the one fishing all the gear, so you're dealing with people losing your jigs nonstop and all that, and that's just part of the game.
Oh, I fish six times the gear that most of the average people fish.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you've got about two decades in guiding alone, plus fishing before then. What fisheries would you have say have gotten better, and which ones have gotten worse in terms of guiding?
There's no question. Things that have gotten better would be like the summer Chinook season. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't even have a summer Chinook fishery until 2006 in the Columbia River. Thank you, hatcheries. Thank mm-hmm. you, East Side hatchery complexes with the, you know, the tribes and the state, because that's just that's a really good, it's a really big shining kind of like, hey, we didn't have the same thing with sockeye.
Yeah.
We didn't have sockeye, you know, years ago, but where the states have just completely failed, I mean, realistically, just should got F, they all should be fired, blah, 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 is on the steelhead, especially on the summer steelhead front.
Oof.
I mean, just brutal. They know the issues they have. They're not doing anything to do anything about them as far as like, you know, the bird predation. And, you know, and so we've seen those summer steelhead runs just absolutely collapse while, you know, they restrict the sports, but don't do anything else. And then same thing with winter steelhead as well, too. A lot of rivers, some of our local streams have been on an 8-year decline on some of the wild steelhead numbers. One of our local haunts. I can't believe it's still even open. I'm waiting for them to drop the hammer.
Let's hope not.
And then we just got word today that they're already closing down a lot of the national park rivers up in the North Coast, Washington, and there'll be more to come.
Really? For winter steelhead already today? Oh, great.
Well, I'll just say it because it's in the report. But the Queets, the Upper Quinault, and the there was one more.
Yeah.
Closed.
And probably more to follow. That's terrible.
And going
to
be more to follow. But again, you know, understanding that. I mean, back to your question, I'm not going to get it like super political because I think everybody knows how I feel about that. But the reality is like, no, steelhead runs winter and summer have just absolutely have gone garbage in the last 15 years. But there has been some shining lights. And then, of course, like the fall Chinook has been pretty steady the last 3 years. And, you know, 2018 was our last bad year. But the last 3 years have been pretty solid. I'm expecting that to turn around with El Nino, more of those weather factors. But, I mean, it has been June. But in those leaner times, though, you know, we've also developed a lot of, like, the kokanee fishing and...
Yeah. And, you know, that was one thing. That was probably my kind of introduction to you many years ago, of course, fishing kokanee with my dad. I remember seeing a seminar of yours at a little tackle shop that's probably doesn't even exist anymore. And within just that 1 hour seminar that you did, I picked up a ton of new information and a totally different way of fishing we were doing. Of course, the big heavy Ford fenders, the wedding rings, and a piece of corn. And I went to your seminar, went fishing with my dad shortly after for kokanee, and he's laughing at me. And he was laughing at me for the setup that I had garnered from your seminar. And after he had hooked one and I'd hooked 10, he was asking me for the same setup really quickly. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of wondering, because that... I'm sure there were others, of course. I'm not, but at least in our local area, the first time that I kind of learned about these lighter presentations and what you were doing for kokanee, which you've shown on the Addicted YouTube videos and all that, that was new for me, at least in this area of Southwest Washington. So when did you start kind of dialing in that kokanee program and doing that?
I'll be honest with you, like, and I'll give credit to him. I was, Gary Morales actually turned me on to that stuff. He used to live locally in the area. He was a Shasta tackle company.
Yeah.
And he was using something called the Sling Blade. And I was filming shows with Anglers West TV and Justin, and he got me just, I kokanee fished a lot at Merwin. I'd already done it.
Yeah.
And I was already doing, you know, for me, it was always like the lighter cowbell size twos and, you know, wedding ring, tip to the worm, corn, whatever. Kind of like, what there's been millions of kokanee caught on, to be real. But Gary turned me on to the Sling Blade, and that kind of started, I think, the Dodger revolution kind of in the area, at least for me. And but the effectiveness of it just grew and grew and grew. And, of course, as more Dodgers and different style Dodgers and different things have come out like that, kokanee thing it just had really developed. But one thing within kokanee fishing, and why I think some of those seminars and some of the stuff is so valuable to people, is that if you are off on like just a couple little things on kokanee fishing, you literally go from catching 40 a day to catching 4 a day.
Yes.
And it's the learning curve is very, very steep, but it's not unobtainable. It's like, you know, you got to have something in front of them being presented right and something that they'll actually try to nip at. So like you kind of, you hit all three of those and you don't start, honestly, you don't start getting fancy and weighing your gear down with snubbers, and you don't start putting weights in the wrong spots, and you kind of understand, you know, like the importance of like speed and like set. Like there's just a few things that if you just get them all right and the kokanee you're biting, you are going to crush them. And you go to the ramp and there's, you know, you've talked to 10 boats and half of them are limited and the other half just have a handful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a very niche fishery. And I started getting into it, you know, on the guiding side of things, because on those years we had some really lean, can't remember what year it was. We had some really lean spring Chinook runs. And springtime is, you know, a fantastic time to get out there on the lakes, do some kokanee, even though it's a year round fishery.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I'm going to develop this side of the business, because I'd done a lot of kokanee fishing up there, you know, for 10, 15 years. I never saw a guide, never. No. And in fact, when I started guiding it, I was definitely like, people like, why would you guide kokanee? And when you should be guiding Chinook. And it's like, well, because there is no Chinook, so I guide kokanee.
It's a blast. It's nonstop action. And now, taste amazing.
Right. And now looking at these fisheries, and now don't get me wrong, like, you know, bless the soul, Sam, and those guys are still doing it on the east side.
Yeah.
But like on the west side, there just wasn't a lot of that. There might have been some stuff up there in Seattle. And but like the reality is like just in our kind of our southwest fisheries, there was none. And I was up there a lot. So I knew there wasn't any. And so I started teaching seminars, getting people excited to that, because in return, people booked an absolute pile of trips.
Yeah.
And honestly, some days I wish I'd just go right back to the kokanee stuff.
Oh man, it was a blast. I remember me and Marlon jumped on your boat, and I'd always been doing it with just surface rods or weights, but you had the downriggers going. And what amazed me is instead of getting a double when you'd go through a school, you were at all those different depths, and we'd have like four rods going off at once. And it was pretty mind blowing. And it's just fun. It's like the, you know, I've heard sockeye, you know, the same species, they say it's the easiest hard fish to catch. And just putting together all those factors, it's a lot of fun. I learned a lot through that. Of course, there's plenty on the Addicted YouTube channel to learn from. But yeah, you know, I've appreciated a lot of guides, including you. Just seeing the consistency to get up day in and day out. If a guide has a bad attitude, I kind of understand personally. And if they can stay positive throughout all that, you know, it's pretty respectable, and put people on fish, have a good time. It's all about the experience.
I could say that I've never not had a bad attitude.
Never. No.
That'd be a lie. Got to grind through it for sure.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, thank you very much, Cameron. Looks like Jordan's in the building, so we got some stuff to do coming up here. And like Cameron mentioned before, there is that golden ticket giveaway. If you go to addicted.fishing, you'll see the link in the navigation. Click on that. It's going to show you all the prizes, tell you exactly how everything works. And I wish I could sign up, but I'm disqualified.
Why are you disqualified?
I don't know.
I feel like you shouldn't be disqualified.
I just assume that. Maybe I can just tag along on that trip. So
right through the back door.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
So,
all right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in. Let us know what you thought about this and all the comments and all the little spots that you guys are downloading and watching this podcast. And we'll see you on the next one.